someday this world will get what it wants, a world without absolutes. Here's Skip Heitzig.
Once the rapture occurs, and all of the believers on planet Earth, all of those who stood up for righteous causes, those who protested what's going on television, those who protested abortion, those who said, hey, we ought to have prayer back in the schools, or we need God in the Pledge of Allegiance, or we need the Ten Commandments in public places. When all those people are gone, there'll be no restraint. Lawlessness will abound.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
According to many analysts, one of the reasons Democrats were voted into office in the last election was because of people's dissatisfaction with the war in Iraq. We generally don't like things we can't control, and many felt that any semblance of control over the situation in Iraq had been lost a long time ago. However, the chaos we see in the Middle East is just a mild disruption compared with what's coming. And Skip Heitzig will explore that today here in The Connection. But before we get started, we recently received this letter from Cecile, and it says, Dear Skip, I have to tell you that when I discovered it was possible to get video of the 65 weeks you put on DVD of the Bible from 30,000 feet, I immediately ordered them and started a church class, and let me tell you, the people love it. Being able to watch you keeps us focused on the lessons much more than merely listening. Many of us are older people, like above 60, and we tend to doze off easily, laugh out loud. So let it be known that you have a whole new group of people who find you very inspiring. Thank you again for all you do, so God can be known to many more people. God bless you and your family, and know that many people keep you in their prayers. In Christ, Cecile. Well, Cecile, we appreciate you being proactive with starting that class and introducing more people to God's Word. And as a thank you for taking time to write us here at The Connection, we're going to send you Skip's new devotional, The Daily God Book, just as a thank you. And we'd love to hear from you sometime with a praise report, a prayer request, or a testimony. Just write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Now open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Let's continue in our series, Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace.
And make the connection.
Skip Heitzig begins today's study with an explanation of why he isn't a professional baseball player.
I'm really glad that you were not at Isotope Stadium last Sunday night. In fact, was there anybody at Isotope Stadium last? Okay, you were. My apologies. I say that because they asked me to throw the first pitch of the game. Now, I did this years ago. And about 3 years ago when I did this, the pitch that I threw then went out of my hand, hit the ground, and dribbled toward the catcher. So I thought, okay, great, I can redeem myself. And I even practiced. This is what makes it really, really pathetic. Is I went home and I found a buddy and I threw the baseball, got my arm warmed up, and I thought, I can do this. I can make the pitch from my hand to the catcher's glove. I can do it. So I practiced. And then I threw the first pitch. And it left my hand, went about 5 feet, hit the ground, and dribbled to the catcher. Again. So I think I have become the poster child for bad first pitches. And I'm thinking in the future, if Isotope Stadium just wants a good laugh, they'll say, hey, get that preacher kid back here again. That guy will mess it up. It was really bad. And I thought of a story after that that reminded me of what I had done There was a little boy who took a baseball and bat to his backyard, and he stood in the backyard and he announced, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he threw the ball up in the air and he swung his bat and he missed it. And he said to himself, "Strike one." And undaunted, he threw the second ball up in the air after saying, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," swung and missed it. And he shouted, "Strike two." And he straightened his cap, spit on his hands, rubbed them together, said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Threw the ball up, swung, missed. "Strike three," he said. Then he paused as if struck by some revelation. He said, "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." And I thought of that story because as I left the mound, I thought, "I'm the greatest umpire in the world." Because even I can tell that was the worst pitch ever. It wasn't baseball. What I did was a mess. Imagine if the teams that night played baseball like I play baseball. It wouldn't be a game. It'd be pathetic. It'd be a mess. But that's just baseball. That's just a game. On the serious side, there is coming a time in history that can only be described as the world's greatest mess ever. In fact, things will get so bad, it'll be so chaotic that it will culminate in the very end of all things, the end of the world. Verse 12, Jesus continues telling his disciples, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The end of the world will come. And what will that be like? How do you think news media agencies would spin the end of the world? Well, somebody thought it might sound like this. If it was USA Today, the headlines might simply read, "We're dead." Wall Street Journal would say, "Dow Jones plummets as world ends." Microsoft Systems Journal would write, "Apple loses market share." Sports Illustrated would have on their cover, "Game over." Rolling Stone magazine might write, "The Grateful Dead reunion tour." Reader's Digest, one word, they just say, "Bye." Discover magazine might have on the cover, "How will the extinction of all life as we know it affect the way we view the cosmos?" TV Guide would say, "Death and damnation, Nielsen ratings soar." And Ladies Home Journal might write, "Lose 10 pounds by Judgment Day on our new Armageddon diet." That's all spin. And a lot of people will spin those events even toward the end. The most accurate reporting comes from the lips of Jesus Christ. The most honest reporting, the most detailed, sobering reporting comes right here in Matthew 24. And you'll recall that it is an answer to questions the disciples asked. The disciples and Jesus had left the Temple Mount. They're on their way down through the Kidron Valley. They go across up the Mount of Olives. They had been dazzled by those monumental structures, the temple. And they said, "Look at these buildings and these stones." And Jesus said, "Not one of these stones will be left upon another. Every one will be thrown down." Bothered those disciples when they heard that. And so they came to Jesus on the Mount of Olives and they said, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" I'm glad they asked that question because Matthew 24 gives the answer. And Jesus gives a list of signs, things that people toward the end of time will be able to see just before the end of the age. Spiritual deception is number one. "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." Violent reaction is number two. There will be wars, rumors of wars, kingdom rising against kingdom, nation against nation. There will be physical disruption, earthquakes, famine, pestilence. There will even be hateful persecution of believers. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, in the next several verses, Jesus gives to us four human conditions that will be present up until the end of the world. Four of them. There will be lawlessness. There will be callousness. But there will be faithfulness, and there will be responsiveness. And those are the four conditions we want to look at this morning. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 12, Jesus says, "Because lawlessness will abound." Now that word, lawlessness, is just as it is written. Lawlessness, anomion, without legal constraint. Do what you want. But not just lawlessness, but lawlessness will abound, overflow, increase, be at maximum capacity. The New Living Translation says, sin will be rampant everywhere. In other words, Jesus predicts the time is coming when people won't try to hide their sin any longer. They'll be very open, very unashamed, unabashed, very aggressive with it. Which makes sense. If you think about it, once the rapture occurs and all of the believers on planet Earth, all of those who stood up for righteous causes, those who protested what's going on television, those who protested abortion, those who said, hey, we ought to have prayer back in the schools, or we need God in the Pledge of Allegiance, or we need the Ten Commandments in public places. When all those people are gone, there'll be no restraint. Lawlessness will abound. I was reading a book, and I didn't make it through it because it's just a tough book, by a Russian author named Fyodor Dostoevsky. It's called The Brothers Karamazov. But there's a little statement in there that struck me. He said, if God does not exist, everything is permissible. If God does not exist, everything is permissible. Think about it. When those ardent believers in Christ are taken off the earth, and largely you have groups of misinformed, misguided people, but especially those who say, there is no God, everything is permissible. The salt of the earth will be removed. There will be no restraint. Paul weighs in on this issue. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Well, when you have that means temptation gets really hard even for the strongest believer. So you add to global violence and to spiritual deception and to persecution, if you add to that, all of that, now lawlessness, immoral lewdness, you have a recipe for disaster. In fact, I believe it's going to get so bad that the whole concept of sin won't even be around. There'll be such a moral relativism that becomes the fare of the day. You just do whatever you want because your truth is as valid as anyone else's. There was an airline pilot who was flying over the southeastern United States. As he was flying over the southeastern United States at cruising altitude, he wired or he called the nearest ground tower and he said, please advise, this is flight such and such. We are at 35,000 feet. Please advise, what is the local time? And the tower answered back, well, which airlines are you? Which threw the pilot for a loop. He said, well, what does it matter what airlines I am? I just want to know the time. And the tower said, well, it makes a lot of difference. If you're Transworld Airlines or Pan Am, it's 1,600 hours. If you're Delta or United, it's 4 o'clock p.m. If you're Southern Airways, the little hand is on the 4 and the big hand is on the 12. And if you're Skyway Airlines, it's Thursday. Now, could you imagine if every pilot in the air did whatever, however, whenever they wanted to, there would be worldwide pandemonium. Well, now imagine everybody on earth doing their own thing however they wish. There is lawlessness. You have a moral crash. Jesus predicts that as one of the conditions that will be on the earth. There's a second one, callousness. Same verse. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Notice how the sentence begins with the word because. Because of this condition, there will be then that condition. The first leads to the second. Because there's going to be lawlessness, what follows lawlessness is callousness. That also makes sense. You see, when sin is so rampant that it's everywhere all the time, people become insensitive to it. Doesn't affect them like it used to. It's like, whatever, everybody's doing it. There's an interesting term that has come up the last several years. You may have heard of it. It's known as compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is a condition that occurs to volunteer workers, sometimes law enforcement officers, sometimes soldiers on the battlefield, most often to NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who come in as relief organizations to help in famine or in war-torn areas where there's catastrophe. But because they're around it so much, they start losing feeling for it. It becomes just routine. It's just another suffering child. They've seen so much that there is compassion fatigue. Somebody once said, if you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when somebody dies. That's compassion fatigue. Because there will be lawlessness, sin will be so rampant, there's going to be callousness, insensitivity. One of the saddest experiences I've ever known is to look at the lives of people that I have known, worshiped with in the past, once so in love with Jesus, but because of the temptations around them, the rampant flow, proliferation of sin, they get caught up in it. They become callous to it. They become swept up by it. And so that real drive for Christ isn't there. And that's why we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, exhort or encourage one another, how often? Daily. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, calloused through the deceitfulness of sin. So because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Now when it says the love of many, the love of whom exactly? There's many whose love grows cold, but love for whom? Well, you don't know exactly. It doesn't say. It could be it's the love of many for God that grows cold, or the love of many for people that grows cold. I think it's the second. I think the whole context here isn't love for God, but here's the idea. Sin will become so rampant that people will turn inward and become narcissistic and self-serving, and their love and respect and compassion for others will start to grow cold. Which, well, it sends up a warning flag for us today, doesn't it? As you look around our culture, would you say that you can already see callousness occurring? Would you say that we're already becoming hardened to people's needs around us? I mean, just follow this line of thinking with me. Back in 1936, a magazine emerged on the American scene, Life Magazine. I used to love looking at Life Magazine, loved the pictures. And I loved it because there were big pictures and there were just little paragraphs. But it told a story of life. That was 1936. I wasn't around then, by the way. In 1974, another magazine occurred or came on the scene, People Magazine. So we went from life to people in life. But a few years later, another magazine came, Us magazine. So it's people, but it's us, not them. So life, people, us. A few years later, another magazine came out, Self. Now, that may just be coincidental, or it might be an interesting trend of a very narcissistic, self-focused culture. You know, I'm waiting for Me magazine to come out next. I think that's going to be next on the horizon. Now, we are facing an added danger today. Here's the danger we face that predecessors, previous generations never faced like we do. You and I are bombarded with images of war daily, violence daily, sexual exploitation daily. We see so much of it. It's dangerous. What does it lead to? Well, there are several things it leads to. Medical Journal of Pediatrics said children most exposed to sex and violence are the ones most likely to participate in sex and violence. Another study, teens who regularly listen to music with degrading sexual contact are more likely to have intercourse than those who don't. Another study, high school students who watch professional wrestling on television have a habit of getting into fights with their dates. I find that very fascinating. Just watching professional wrestling. And then they go out on a date and it's like, I don't think they're like wrestling. Come on. But it's interesting. In being exposed to altercations, you become somebody who does it.
You know, one can't help but wonder what that kind of daily exposure to some of the toxic influences in our culture today might do to our behavior, our beliefs, and our morals. In light of the fact that things are only going to get darker, that makes it so much more vital for us to make sure we are all well-grounded in God's Word. And we'll continue with His message again next time. And in just a moment, I'll tell you how to get a copy of it. But first, what's happening today that may be fulfilling the prophecies of the end times? This month's resource will help you figure that out.
9 years ago, headlines around the world reported on a terrorist attack that was beyond imagination.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed.
For many, life has never been the same since that fateful day. Yet as tragic as 9/11 was, it pales in comparison with what the Bible reveals will take place when the end times culminate. This month, The Connection invites you to take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about future world events with a special collection of teachings from speakers such as Skip Heitzig.
Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is at the very center of God's prophetic program. And because of that, it is also in the crosshairs of Satan's attack throughout history and even today.
Tim LaHaye.
The truth is that there are well over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. Over half of them have already been fulfilled.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Joel Rosenberg, and more. This set of 7 CDs from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference is available this month from The Connection for just $35. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order your set today. Learn what the Bible says that we'll see in tomorrow's headlines. 7 astounding teachings for just $35 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Now, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, just pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6, or you can place your order online at connectionradio.org. We also appreciate it when you take the time to write. We truly enjoy hearing your testimonies, so if you have something you'd like to share, please don't hesitate to write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Plus, anyone who contacts us for the first time today will receive a free booklet from Skip Heitzig. So write us today or call 1-800-922-1888. And also, don't forget that the deadline for the School of Ministry registration is fast approaching. So make sure you get signed up by August 6th when you call 1-800-922-1888. 1888 or at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
We'll continue to explore exactly what we can expect during the final days of history on our next program. So be sure to join us as we continue in Matthew chapter 24. Here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.